1, 2, 1.
It's time for the Better Horses Radio Show with Ernie Rodina. Saddle up and ride as we explore the Western way of life, horses and cows, family and friends, a relationship with the land, and a relationship with God. It's all here on Better Horses Radio. Now let's hit the trail with Ernie and his co-host, Dawn Dawson.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey, don't touch that dial, folks. It's time to get around and talk horses. I'm Ernie Rodina.
No, I'm Dawn Dawson.
Welcome to the Better Horses Radio Show. Dawn, how you doing?
I am doing really good, Ernie. How are you doing today?
Good. We've got some more good shows as usual coming up.
We do have a great show coming up. Today, we're missing Ron McDaniel. He's traveling this week to where he couldn't get on with us. So we'll make sure he's on next week, hopefully. But we are going to get the show off started off just right, aren't we, Ernie?
That's right. I heard I took a real nice compliment on your behalf the other day. They said that Dawn's got the best radio voice they've ever heard.
Was that Mark that said that?
It came from somebody that wasn't relatives, so that was good.
Okay. I'll take it. Hey, Pastor Steve, can you get us started off right today?
Hey, Steve, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but before we get off, I want to put a special prayer in for Connie, who lost her brother on Sunday, and he succumbed to some health problems he had. So didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to put him at the top there.
That's okay. It deserves to be interrupted for. I agree with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we can sure do that. Okay, here we go. Hey, folks, good to be with you once again. You know, the other day, the grandkids were out here at the ranch. Now, the grandsons were talking about many different things when the subject of their heroes came up. Well, for one, it was this baseball player, and another, it was a football player. Still another, it was a bull rider. Well, I kept waiting for just one of them to say that their hero was me, but it never came to be. But they did ask me who my hero was. Well, I was quick to give an answer, and it wasn't one that they expected, because my biblical hero, well, his name is Epaphras. Yep, you heard me. You can read about him in your Bible in the book of Colossians. He's my hero because he was a pastor of a church, he was a church planter, and he was a prayer warrior. All three of these things are important to me, as well as I, too, am a pastor. I, too, am a church planter, and I, too, strive to be a prayer warrior. I want to pray with boldness. I want to pray with great expectation. I want to pray without distraction. I want to pray as a man with an emotional connection with the Holy God. Epaphras was this kind of man. Yep, he's my hero. So it's our prayer here today at Better Horses that you too have a biblical hero, and more importantly, that you are a person of prayer. Hey, this is Steve Stafford. I am the pastor at Risen Ranch Cowboy Church and a very proud member of the Better Horses family.
Thank you, Pastor Steve. And definitely we do want to remember Connie Rodina and her loss of her brother. And Ernie, you guys were praying for you and hope everything goes good for you guys. And I know that it's been a long, tough road for him. So sometimes it's a blessing.
Yeah, still, you're never ready to let him go.
No, you're not. That's for sure. Hey, Pastor Steve, just so you know, you are my hero. Even though you got left out of the grandkid deal, you're mine. So,
yeah, thank you, Don.
Pastor Steve Stafford from the Risen Ranch Cowboy Church, we sure do appreciate everything you do for Better Horses Radio. We love you. Tell Miss Debbie we love her, too.
Thanks, Steve.
I'm going to do it right now. Thank you, guys. See you next week.
Yep.
Hey, Ernie, we have got a fun show lined out today. We're going to get updated from Stanley Forage with Dr. Stephen Duren today.
Don't you like that guy? He's a really sharp individual and just full of information.
Yes, he is. And we're looking forward to that because it's been a while since we've had him. And then we have the one and only Steve Ross coming on today. Ernie, he is so talented. He's involved in the horse industry, huge. And we've got a great event that he was part of that we're going to be visiting about today.
And he just keeps continually to get better and better every time he's on.
No kidding. He's a great guest to have on. We love talking to him. But you know, it is time now for the Kansas State University Veterinary Health Tip of the Week. And Ernie, we're talking about to Dr. Lori Beard today about endocrine disease. And so we want to go to that right now. Let's go listen to it.
Let's do it. Hello, friends. Ernie Rodina with the Better Horses Radio Show with this week's Kansas State Vet Health Center's Equine Tip of the Week. And we got Dr. Lori Beard with us from the Kansas State University. Dr. Lori, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're so glad to be teamed up with K-State, and the information you give us is just so great. And one thing I thought we'd talk about, you hear a lot about it, these endocrine diseases in horses, you know, that you have to treat them different, you got different symptoms. So I thought that would be a good topic maybe to cover.
Yeah, there are two endocrine diseases that are pretty common in horses. And unfortunately, both of them can result in founder or laminitis. One of these diseases is a disease we see in older horses, commonly called equine Cushing's disease, or another term for it would be PPID. The other disease we see in middle-aged horses, they tend to be overweight, is called equine metabolic syndrome.
What's some of the symptoms, that negative symptoms that they get? Like you said, one of them could be a founder. What's some other symptoms that they should look for?
So with the older horses, one of the classic symptoms is this really long, shaggy hair coat that slowly over years, people might notice my horse isn't shedding all that well, or he doesn't shed at all. Maybe they urinate a lot. And those are classic symptoms for equine Cushing's disease. For equine metabolic syndrome, those horses have a normal hair coat, but they get a lot of fat in the crest of their neck. Sometimes they get fat kind of in that hollowed out area above their eyeball. Again, the worry with both these diseases is they can result in laminitis. So if you're seeing something like that, please contact your veterinarian, because there are some diagnostic tests and even treatments.
So it can be treated, handled from that standpoint.
Yeah. And if you get to it early, maybe you can prevent laminitis from happening.
Well, I tell you what, we appreciate that tip. It's something to look for. Is it more prevalent in different times of the year, spring, or different times of the year? Is it more prevalent?
Certainly with equine metabolic syndrome, with the spring and the lush grass, that's a time we might worry about it a little bit more, but it can happen all year long.
Dr. Beard, we appreciate all what K-State, the Veterinary and Health Center, brings to better horses and to the horse industry out there. And always look forward to talking to you guys out there. And I would also urge you folks to make sure you get a good relationship with your local vet and work as a team between K-State and your local vet and yourself, and getting the information where we can treat it. Thank you, Dr. Beard, for the time you give us here on Better Horses Radio. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ernie.
We always love the Kansas State University Veterinary Health Tip, don't we, Ernie?
Great people, just full of information. Those folks are just really helpful. And I would urge you all, you still use your local vet, but don't hesitate to use them. They take it to another level too there.
Yes, they do.
Great university. Again, that's another place full of great resources for the equine health side of your horse.
That's for sure. Hey, we probably better take a break. And in our next segment, we've got Dr. Duren with us. So let's go do that.
Sounds good.
This is your chance to experience a 13-day horse show beginning June 14th to June 24th. 2023 marks 58 years of the Pinto World Championship. With $1 million in cash and prizes, there are no qualifications required to enter. Held in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the Ford Livestock Complex, the Pinto World Championship caters to all types of equines. With 700 classes, the Pinto Show welcomes a variety of breeds to compete. It's a family environment and healthy competition. For more information, check out the website pintoworld.com.
Runny nose, cough, fever. It's flu season for humans and horses. Like human flu vaccines, equine flu vaccines must be updated to protect against the flu strains circulating now. Merck Animal Health's flu-containing vaccines include the most current flu strains, protecting your horse from illness and time missed training because of it. Talk with your veterinarian about Prestige flu vaccines and learn more about the science of advanced protection at prestigevaccines.com.
We're here for the hardworking, the resilient. We're for the people who measure their days by what needs to get done, not by hours. Where kids learn responsibility at a young age and generations work side by side. Where work doesn't pause for holidays or bad weather. It just gets harder. where value and hard work means more than the clothes you wear. We're Kleinschmidt's Western Store, Higginsville, Missouri.
Routine dental examination and treatments are essential for high-quality horse care. To prevent potential problems, a horse's mouth should be examined at least once a year. I'm Dr. Chris Blevins, Equine Field Service Veterinarian at Kansas State University Veterinary Health Center. We can examine the mouth and provide a treatment plan to meet the needs of each client and their horse. Visit us at ksvhc.org, the Veterinary Health Center, to discover, to teach, to heal.
Hey, we're back with Better Horses Radio. I'm Dawn Dawson.
And I'm Ernie Rodina. And Dawn, I'm looking forward to this segment here. It's been a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are brought to you for this segment by Stanley Forage. We're going to give them that credit because we love Stanley Forage. We talk about them every week. StanleyForage.com, check it out. They have awesome products. And we have Dr. Stephen Duren with us today. He is an equine nutritionist and a PhD in exercise physiology and is with Stanley Forage. And are you with us, Dr. Duren?
Yes, I am. Thanks for inviting me.
It's great to have you on.
We always love having you. Yeah. So we want to talk, it's spring. It's getting warm everywhere. Our grass is finally growing here in Kansas. And further south, it's been growing for a while. But the brome, the big grasses, the fescues are all coming up. And it's pretty tempting to just turn the horses loose, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's a common thing that happens every spring. People get tired of the monotony of feeding hay, and certainly the expense of feeding hay or stored forage. And their initial reaction is, okay, we've got some green grass. Let's just open the gate and turn the horses out in it. And there can be some real health consequences for that.
Yeah, some serious health consequences. And it is so tempting, I have to admit. And don't you agree, Ernie, that, you know, to see that beautiful green grass out there and not turn our horses out? But so how can we deal with that? What can we do to make us happy and our horses happy in that transition?
And take advantage of that new grass that's out there.
Yeah, so the things you have to remember are two. First of all, going from a dry forage, a stored forage like a hay, to a lush green grass, that's going to be a pretty significant dietary change. So the opportunity for digestive upset or colic certainly exists. And the reason that occurs is because that fresh vegetative or growing grass contains a lot of water and not a lot of fiber. It's very short. So those horses will fill up on water. They won't get enough fiber. And then their digestive system won't function normally. So they can have a lot of colic associated with that. A very simple way to tell if your grass has enough fiber in it is go ahead, give those horses a little bit of turnout, but provide them a little bit of dry hay while they're in the field. And I think you'd be stunned at the number of horses that will pick their head up off of green grass and go look for that extra fiber that dry hay provides.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and Stanley Forage has some great products to do that with, don't they?
Absolutely. Some of their baled or some of their compressed products are very nice for that. You can, break off a flake of high quality hay. And if a horse will pick his head up off fresh green pasture and go and eat dry hay, they're looking for that fiber content.
Right. Well, I know our horses, we feed brome hay all year long, but in the spring, we still do the short turnout periods, and they are still eating on their brome hay on a regular basis. So you're
And that brings up the second point. The second point is the carbohydrate load or the potential carbohydrate load you have in some of those spring grasses. And specifically, as you know, the sun will shine on forage, shine on grass, and it will produce through the process of photosynthesis, it will produce sugar. And then at night, the plant takes those sugars, forms them into more complicated carbohydrates, fiber, and the plant grows. What often happens in the spring, though, is you have sunshine, that grass begins to green up, but doesn't get a lot taller very quickly because it's too cool at night for those fibers to form. So basically that grass is just accumulating sugar. That can cause horses that consume high amounts of sugar in a single sitting can certainly have the same digestive upset. But more importantly, they can suffer from things like laminitis, which is extremely debilitating to horses.
Oh, boy, that's the truth. So is there a time of day that's better to turn them out during the spring season?
Absolutely. Two things you can do. First, time of grazing. So if you graze early in the morning before the sun has come up, that plant has had a chance to utilize that sugar overnight and has not began to accumulate new sugar for the day, that's the best time. So early in the morning is the best time to graze. The other thing that you can do that really helps in transitioning from the dry hay to the spring grass, if you can begin with gradual turnout. For example, you can get up early, feed your horses their normal morning meal of dry hay. They think they're going to stay in the stall or stay in the dry lot, and then you turn them out for 20 minutes. Okay, give them a short bout of grass when they're full. They're not going to be eating aggressively, and then catch them, put them back in, and do that kind of gradual buildup, if you will, but build up after they've eaten their morning meal of hay so that they're not rapidly consuming fiber.
Great point.
Well, that's something I've learned from you, and making, you know, especially that first few times when you've turned them out, make sure they're not super hungry. And it really does make a difference. And, you know, Dr. Dern, I want to hit on the different types of grass and the different types of hay. If somebody's feeding just a prairie hay versus a brome hay, does that make a difference in turning them out on a lush pasture?
Yes, absolutely, because some of those grasses are what we call non-improved grasses. They're not, haven't been genetically modified. And because of that, they naturally have lower sugar content. Those are the, you know, the plains grasses, the bunch grasses that occur. And those are much safer than the improved fescue grasses or ryegrass and some of those that have been genetically enhanced to have higher sugar content.
So those are the ones that are probably considered more like a, what do they call those, the grass seed for those type of forages? Kind of a horse pasture product, right?
Yeah. When you typically will go into a feed store or your fertilizer place and you're looking for a seed, typically they'll have what they call horse pasture mixes, which are a variety of different types of plants that will withstand the grazing pressure of horses. And so you can get those. But in Kansas, you have a lot of those non-improved grasses, non-improved pastures, native pastures, which are much safer pastures.
Yeah, yes, for sure. But I have heard of horses getting laminitis on being turned out on a prairie grass pasture without short turnout time. So
yep, absolutely. Gradually introduce the pasture. That's always the safest means. And then with my horses, when I give the 20-minute initial turnout, then they get 20 minutes of exercise on top of that because I'm trying to catch them to bring them back in. And they're not always the most cooperative in that stage.
That's a good point. They're not ready to quit when we are.
Very true.
You do a great job of providing the consumer with a great their choices of some great forage at different type of, as far as in different types of modes, whether it be pellets or whether it be chopped, you just a great products to work with.
Yeah, there's lots of different physical forms, if you will, of the forages, whether it be as a conventional baled hay, whether we take that hay in a bale form and compress it into a compressed bale that is easier to store or more convenient to store, or whether we further process that into a cubed forage or a pelleted forage. There's different options available, not only for horses, but other livestock, depending on the feeding system you have and what specifically you're looking for.
The other thing I want our listeners to be aware of is that your hay and that you furnish is completely, especially I'm talking about the legumes, that you, the alfalfa, is there's a almost a guaranteed chance, deal that they won't have any blister beetles in it.
Absolutely. We don't have that particular toxic blister beetle in Idaho where our hays are grown. So I know a lot in the central United States, that's a real worry, and it doesn't take much of that blister beetle to actually cause death in a horse. So, we are able to give that peace of mind that we don't grow hay in areas where that type of beetle is predominant.
Dr. Dern, can you briefly hit on the podcast Beyond the Barn that you guys do and some of the topics that are involved in that?
That's a podcast that Stanley does. It's headed by one of their technical people, Katie Starr, and she's been very good at getting different topics for different listeners. So they talk about all kinds of issues with horse health, with nutrition, different aspects like that. And the range of guests, like just recently we had a veterinarian that practiced in the state of Texas, but prior to that, he was in the military right after veterinary school and went into a big discussion on health of cavalry horses, which was fascinating that the Army at that time still had cavalry horses and talking about the veterinary medicine necessary to keep those horses sound. So lots of different and varying topics available, and they're quite interesting. It's not just talking about nutrition or calories or minerals or that sort of thing. There's lots of other interests as well.
I find them very intriguing, and Dr. Cubitt is on several of them with Katie. I see one that's called What is Leaky Gut in Horses? You know, it's a lot of really good information, you guys. If you go to stanleyforage.com, you can click on the tab for podcasts, and I'm pretty sure you can just search Beyond the Barn on your podcast app and come up with all the shows as well. They're really well done. You guys would really enjoy them. And I know Dr. Duren's featured on them too, so.
Yeah, they actually say that I kind of have a face for radio, so podcasts fit into that as well.
I know that to not be true. So, hey, Dr. Dern, we sure appreciate you coming on. We always have so many questions asked of us about Stanley Forage, and we appreciate you coming on and telling our listeners about the quality of the products. We sure do appreciate it. You guys, if you're not feeding Stanley Forage products, you need to check it out because there's something that can make your feeding program better. And maybe it's just to improve the quality of your hay with one of Stanley's products, and it can work for you.
The horses think it's candy.
Yes. Dr. Dern, until next time, we sure do appreciate you coming on with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks, Doc. Alrighty.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Hey, Ernie, again, I want everybody to remember to go to stanleyforage.com, Stanley Premium Western Forage. They are awesome. They've got lots of products. You will enjoy it. You can get them at almost any of your feed stores around the corner. All the big box stores, most Purina dealers have it. Check it out, Stanley Forage. So.
Great products, great company.
Yeah, we probably better take a break.
Sounds good. We'll be right back. I'm Ernie Rodina.
And I'm Dawn Dawson.
You're listening to the Better Horses Radio Show, and we'll be right back.
Hey, we're back with Better Horses Radio. I'm Dawn Dawson.
And I'm Ernie Rodina. And I tell you what, Dawn, I'm excited about this next segment. And I got to watch it on the webcast, and it was tremendous. And this guy we're going to be talking to, he was right there in the midst of it all. And I have to say, he's... he is kind of the horseman's horseman when it comes to evaluating horses and training and all that kind of stuff. And so glad to have him on today. And we're talking about Mr. Steve Ross from out there in Scottsdale, Arizona, and just does a super job. I've been watching. He does the commentating and evaluation and all that. Just so glad to have him on today's show, Don.
Yeah. Are you with us, Steve?
I'm here. How are you doing, Don? Ernie, great to be on Better Horses Network again. I always love when I get to visit with you guys.
We're way overdue getting you on, but we're glad we got you on today.
Well, I'm glad to be here. That was a great horse show there in Tulsa, the National Reigning Breeders Classic, as you mentioned. Lucky enough to do the play-by-play via the webcast on that, and what an event.
I got to tell you, Steve, the new play-by-play, the different events have been doing on their finals, that's really cool. It gives us here at home a whole different look at watching those shows and everything that's going on. It's just really cool.
It's a great time in terms of technology to be a fan of horse sports or anything that maybe isn't as mainstream as something you'd see on the networks. But I know the advantages now with YouTube and social media and being able to webcast, you're able to follow things in a way you never have before. And most of our major NRHA events have a big web presence where you can watch every run from start to finish. And then in the finals, normally very fortunate to get to do what I call horse play-by-play. And I'm joined by some really talented people from time to time. And to be able to bring these sports into people's living rooms or more accurately onto their phone. And my role really is just kind of for folks that are new starting out, maybe explain a little bit about what they're seeing happen, what the judges are looking for. But, you know, let's be honest, we have a pretty core audience that knows what they're seeing. So I try to relate to them too, just kind of maybe a little of the backstories on some of the horses or riders that they may not have known. And just offer some insight.
Steve,
well,
go ahead, Don.
I think that's what's so cool about it is getting the backstory. Because you don't get that even when you just go to the event, unless you know the people and you know the backstory, the rest of us have no clue. So getting that information is pretty cool.
Well, I always try to think about, you know, I had a pretty good long career in radio too that ran side by side with my horse career. And I was really fortunate that I had some really good program directors that always preached to me value to the listener. And is what you're saying something that brings value to the listener? So I try to only say what I feel like will bring value to the people that are watching. In this case, it's a viewer. And not just talk about myself, obviously, but there are some really interesting people and horses in this sport. And since I've been fortunate enough to be involved in it basically my entire adult life, I'm kind of uniquely positioned to share some of those stories. And I have some really long-term relationships that's kind of positioned me well for this job. But, you know, whoever knew horse show play-by-play would even be a thing? I mean, it's just great if you love a sport like this that you can follow it now.
I'll tell you what, that was a deep, deep show last weekend, and it had to be really exciting to judge from that standpoint and saw some great athletes. Anything stand out in this show as far as bloodlines or anything like that just seemed like it dominated?
No, Ernie, it's what stood out and what stands out now is the depth of horses and the depth of quality coaches or trainers, if you want to call them that, out there. You know, Ernie, when you and I got involved in this sport, we'd go to the reigning futurity and you knew it was going to be Bill Horn, Bob Loomis, you know, Rocky Dare, pick a handful of names, because as I always say, when I got started in the reigning horse business in the 1980s, now I'd trained horses my whole life up till then, but I wanted to go full time into the reining. And there were only a handful of guys who knew how to train one. And they weren't talking. And there weren't DVDs. And there weren't podcasts. And there weren't really books on how to do it. And the only way to do it was to go apprentice for one of those guys. And, you know, Doug Milholland told me when I went to work for him, he said, now you're not going to learn this in lessons. You're going to learn most of this by osmosis, by being around it every day. You're going to absorb it. And if you'll stay long enough, you'll absorb enough of it that you can make a living. And that was great advice. Although I will have to say, Doug gave me a lot of lessons. Like he sat me down a lot of times and said, you know, you need to do this to this horse and soften this horse up there. But, you know, there's such a wealth of knowledge available now that the know-how aspect of training a reining horse is kind of so much more readily available than it ever was. And really talented people are taking full advantage of that. And there's horse flesh available now that's never been before. I always say, it's not even hard to get a good one anymore. That used to be the secret. If you can just find a good one, a horse talented enough to take your training ability, match it up, and go be competitive on it now. Well, finding that good horse isn't hard, but for even the top riders now, they may not know they've got a winner till the very end. You know you've got one that's capable of doing the event, but there's so many good ones now, they really don't separate till they get under the bright lights, and that's fine. But it's a great equalizer.
Wow. The one thing that you mentioned there is that in the 80s, even into the 90s, in all disciplines, there were very few people willing to share their knowledge.
Yeah, you had to go to work for them. They wouldn't, they wouldn't or couldn't articulate what they were doing. And I don't mean that as a criticism in any way. I'm just saying that, you know, you take any time a great craftsman in any field, where it's violin making or horse training, you know, that person that's the master in that event may not necessarily be the best communicator, but as time's gone by, communication has increased. Nowadays, you don't have to be a great communicator because you can hire somebody that can tell your story for you and disseminate that information out to the public. And it's been great. You know, I just see so many up and coming young riders, you know, that 23, 24 years old have a skill level that I never had at that age. And neither did a lot of the really top riders I've known.
And you talk about osmosis. What about Luca Papani?
Yeah, Luca Papani's a phenom. And he's fallen into an incredible situation. Now, if you don't know him, he's the son of the all-time leading rider in the NRHA in terms of money earning, Andrea Papani, and his mom, Tish Papani, who's a big-time non-pro competitor in herself. She's won the non-pro futurity a couple times. Well, Luca's only worked for his dad growing up. He's won the non-pro futurity himself at 16. I had the play-by-play of calling that run when he got chased around the arena by a wayward border collie who dove into the Coliseum there and had to have a re-ride and a runoff to win it. But, you know, Luca is a kid that grew up around great riders, obviously, and his mom and dad and the number of assistants they've had there. But he's gone out on his own to be his own man at over 18. This is his first year competing in the open division. And he won the level three, which is like AAA baseball for reiners. He won the level three at NRBC and the level two, pocketed $60,000, marked to 226, which was higher than any but one of his dad's horses marked there in the finals. On a horse he'd ridden five times before he showed it, that had been shown in the non-pro. So, yeah, they're getting better younger and earlier. And it's great to see. Like, I'm in such a great position that I don't have to go compete against these kids. I can just sit back there and watch what they're doing with the horses. And, man, I love it.
So Ernie mentioned something before we went on air about judging the circles, and give our listeners that don't understand that how hard that is.
It's really not that hard, Don. It is. Let me explain the system to you, and that makes it simple. When you have a reining pattern like we had at the NRBC, it's pattern 10. There are eight separate maneuvers. Now, horse and rider, they get a chance to get graded on each maneuver. And for the judges, it's not as much at looking at the overall run and deciding, okay, what's the best one out of the 280 horses you see in the first go-around in the open? Now, there are only 30 by the finals. it's impossible to do that. There's nobody in the world that can watch that many runs and then put them in order, 1 through 280. But we have a scoring system that does that for you. Now, Ernie brought up the circles. Now, that was a big pen in Tulsa with great ground, a bunch of Derby horses that have been pointed toward this. So it makes sense they should all circle well, and they did, because that's a maneuver unlike the stops and turns that doesn't quite have the variables. So you can develop some certainty when you're trying to plan your score. And those riders have practiced for those circles. And the way the scoring system works, you start out every maneuver with a zero. If you do what the pattern book says, you hold your zero. If you do something that earns credit, if you do something that's good, you get a half point for that maneuver. If you do something that's very good, you get a point for that maneuver. And if you do something that's considered excellent, you get a point and a half. So you can score on all of the eight maneuvers. Now, how does a judge decide what's good, what's correct, what's very good, and what's excellent? Well, it's based on the industry standard. And there's a DVD that comes out from the NRHA every year they send to the judges. And they say, here are three examples of what we feel like constitute excellent circles. And then here are three examples of what are very good circles. And here's what are three examples of good circles. And here are just correct circles that are doing what the pattern asks for, but not with enough degree of difficulty, which comes from controlled speed. It's not just how hard you run around there. You got to maintain the correctness, but controlled speed adds degree of difficulty. So like anything else, the higher we risk, the higher reward. A lot of riders were risking a lot, and for the most part, it all worked. So that's why you see a lot of high scores, a lot of similar scores, because they're all kind of bumping up there around the same number of RPMs on this certain track.
So it would be very beneficial for somebody competing, and I'm sure they do, the competitors have seen all those different levels of what wins and what doesn't.
You know, the modern day reining horse competitor is no different than any other world-class competitor in other sport. They're studying the officiating. They're asking questions. They're watching videos of themselves run. When I was still judging a lot, it was not uncommon for competitors to call me following a major event and ask if I'd go over their run again with them, help them come to an understanding about why they were rewarded in their circles. But while, you know, they maybe felt like they had really good spins, the judges didn't pay them. And the really top riders, and I'll throw names out there like Fapani and Flairda, they're only concerned about what's going to help them advance their scores. So people like that will pick up the phone, they'll call judges, they'll do some research, they'll go back, they'll video themselves at home doing the same maneuver and then see if it's going to measure up to that standard that's ultimately going to earn them more points in that maneuver and ultimately going to put them at the top and help them win those titles and that money.
Wow.
Well, if you just tuned in, you are listening to Better Horses Radio, and we have Steve Ross on the line with us. And Steve, I want to mention Ross Reining and Performance Horses, because you talk about bringing the horse to the eye of everybody. You've done that on your Facebook page and your marketing. You have some of the most beautiful horses available out there, and I want to make sure people know that. Tell us about, you got any horses right now that you want to brag on?
Well, first of all, Dawn, as no radio guy, that was a great reset.
Thank you.
And two, yes, we have some really nice horses. You're welcome to go to our website, steverossreininghorses.com, or go to our Facebook page. We're a brokerage service basically for show horses, for reining horses specifically. And we work with a number of the top barns in the country. I always say our job is more to reposition horses than train them. Yeah, we ride every day, but we make show horses available for the public at a skill level that matches them. And we keep enough horses on hand here that we know are proven commodities that we feel like if you come to our barn looking for a reining horse, you're going to find one that fits your budget, fits your skill level. And if you're honest with me about what level you want to compete and what your skill level is, our goal is going to be to match up a horse with you that fits that. And that's what we do. And it's been really successful for us. And, you know, it's just fun. The fun part is seeing all the horses we've had through here over the years and what they've gone on to do. And You know, more importantly than that, Don, I tell this all the time. We've had a lot of horses that have become quote unquote famous that have left our barn. And for the most part, when those horses came to us, somebody didn't want them. We always laugh and say, for whatever reason, this certain horse, the last guy didn't like him, couldn't ride him, didn't think he would compete. We come in here, we start every horse with a blank slate, try to be honest about our assessment about what they are, what type of rider is going to fit them, because, you know, riders differ as much as horses. So a horse good for one person may not be good for another person. We just try to bridge that gap and find those good matchups. And, you know, it's really a case of one man's trash can be another man's treasure. So we're excited about that.
That's 100% truth there. I've experienced it myself. I've had horses that didn't suit me. There wasn't anything wrong with them. They just weren't my type of horse. And the next person took them and were hugely successful with them, which makes me happy because, you know, I don't fit every single horse. So, you know, and I know a lot of people, other people don't either.
Well, I mean, that's why some of us have to get married a couple of times, Dawn. Just don't always know if it's going to work.
Okay, let's change the subject. Oh, Steve, we love having you on. Steve Ross with Ross Reining and Performance Horses. He's very, go out to the Facebook page. You will find him. If you're not looking for a horse, don't search him because he's got beautiful horses and you'll fall in love with every single one of them. So,
Steve, let's don't wait as long as we did this time to get you back on. But you're a big plus to the show and we'd love to have you on again.
Well, I love it, Ernie. Thank you guys so much. I love what you're doing. You know, we're in a time right now where things like the Western lifestyle and people with a passion for horses needs to be encouraged and promoted. There's enough garbage out there on the airways. So what you guys are doing, it's an oasis for me in the media space. And I love what you guys bring all the time. So thank you so much for having me on.
Well, we're going to get you on again. You're one of the best. And like I said, it was an honor to have you on today.
Oh, the honor was all mine, but thanks again and congratulations to Casey Deary and Downright Amazing for winning the NRBC championship. And Ernie, I got to brag a little bit. My mare's in fold of that horse, so I couldn't celebrate in the broadcast booth, but inside I was going, yes.
Wow. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, we can't wait for that.
Oh, Casey does a great job, doesn't he?
Oh, he's phenomenal. Phenomenal. And that's who Luca Papani's gone to work for, so what a team that is.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
All right. Well, we'll have you back, Steve. Thanks a bunch. Take a break, Ernie.
Sounds good. Hey, folks, we'll be right back. I'm Ernie Rodina.
And I'm Don Dawson.
You're listening to Better Horses Radio.
This is your chance to experience a 13-day horse show beginning June 14th to June 24th. 2023 marks 58 years of the Pinto World Championship. With $1 million in cash and prizes, there are no qualifications required to enter. Held in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the Ford Livestock Complex, the Pinto World Championship caters to all types of equines. With 700 classes, the Pinto Show welcomes a variety of breeds to compete. It's a family environment and healthy competition. For more information, check out the website pintoworld.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dylan Luter, a specialist in equine performance medicine at the Kansas State University Veterinary Health Center. Our new service focuses on lameness diagnosis, advanced imaging, physical therapy, and regenerative medicine for horses with injuries preventing them from performing at their best. We can treat a variety of conditions and design a customized rehabilitation plan to meet the needs of each client and their horse. Visit us at ksvhc.org, the Veterinary Health Center, to discover, to teach, to heal.
Hi, I'm Tommy with Heritage Tractor. Whether you're looking to maintain your yard or your whole ranching operation, Heritage Tractor has John Deere mower and tractor packages that make work fly by. With a variety of horsepower and attachment configurations, we have a package to best fit your needs and budget. To learn more about these exclusive packages, visit us in-store or online at heritagetractor.com.
Legendary products, extraordinary service, that's our heritage.
Established in 1956, the Pinto Horse Association of America was formed to welcome all types of equines and maintain their show records and pedigrees. PTHA currently has over 88,000 members with 157,000 registered Pintos. There are currently three separate registries, the Color Registry, the Solid Registry, and the Long Ear Registry. We welcome all levels of competition within a family-friendly environment. Become a member, register, and add value to your horse. For more information, check out the website, PintoWorld.com.
Runny nose, cough,
fever. It's flu season for humans and horses. Like human flu vaccines, equine flu vaccines must be updated to protect against the flu strains circulating now. Merck Animal Health's flu-containing vaccines include the most current flu strains, protecting your horse from illness and time missed training because of it. Talk with your veterinarian about Prestige flu vaccines and learn more about the science of advanced protection at prestigevaccines.com.
We're here for the hardworking, the resilient. We're for the people who measure their days by what needs to get done, not by hours. Where kids learn responsibility at a young age and generations work side by side. Where work doesn't pause for holidays or bad weather. It just gets harder. Where value and hard work means more than the clothes you wear. We're Kleinschmidt's Western Store, Higginsville, Missouri.
It's time to go with United Mosquito and Fly Control's premier fly system for fly control in your barn, providing relief for horses from the stress of fighting flies, and also makes the barn more pleasant for everyone in the barn. Easy, effective, and safe. With United Mosquito and Fly Control, we provide a full service. You as the barn owner don't have to do anything. We go everywhere and take care of everything with our friendly fast service. Call today at 913-558-3814 or email Paul at unitedmosquito.com. It's time to fall into forage and save. Stanley Premium Western Forage is offering one of their biggest promotions of the year. Buy any three Stanley products and get $5 off. Stanley Premium Western Forage offers the highest quality premium forage from the western United States. During the summer months, Stanley's farm employees carefully nurture and harvest their fields to make sure the forage meets their product specifications and exceed your quality standards. Winter is coming. Get prepared now with the help of Stanley Premium Forage. Visit stanleyforage.com/coupons to download your coupon now.
We are back, and thanks for staying tuned to Better Horses Radio. I'm Dawn Dawson.
And I'm Ernie Rudina.
Hey, Ernie, I want to give a shout out to a couple sponsors. We got so busy talking with Steve, we didn't mention Dechra. They have the product Osphos. Go to DECHRA.com and read all about Osphos, O-S-P-H-U-S. It is a product out there for horses with navicular, and you really do want to visit with your vet about it if you've got a horse with those issues. So check those websites out. Also, we want to thank Merck Animal Health for being a part of Better Horses Radio. Go to merckanimalhealth.com and see all the products that they have as well.
And then the other one is, let's not forget our great sponsor up in Higginsville, Missouri.
Kleinschmidt's Western Store. You can't miss it. If you're going down I-70, they're on the north side of the highway right there in Higginsville, Missouri. And they have a beautiful store, so you do want to stop in there.
Everybody that goes in there, they just love it. Great
folks. I know. I've been in there. I love it, too. So,
hey, I want to urge you all to also sign up on our newsletter. We got one coming out here, and that's our electronic newsletter. And you go to just betterhorses.com, send your email, and we'll put you on that thing. It goes to 60,000 horse owners, pretty much in the Midwest and the Southwest. It goes out there, and just a great list we have, and lots of good comments coming back.
Yeah, absolutely. If you got a product you want to get mentioned on it, let Ernie know. You can email Ernie at betterhorsesradio.com and get that info out there. Hey, Ernie, what about the Volan Store event with Jerry Diaz?
July 8th. You won't want to miss this, folks. There's I think they got a couple bed and breakfasts around there, but there's hotels not too far from the Volan Store, which is Volan's kind of in between Kansas City or Topeka and
Junction City in Manhattan. Everything's it's really close to all three of those. Wamego has hotels, so there's lots of places to stay between Junction City, Manhattan, Wamego, and Topeka. And check it out. It is going to be a blast, you guys. July 8th. You can go to thevolunstore.com and find information about it.
And it's going to be, like you said, it's right in the middle of the Flint Hills.
Yep. It's beautiful. You won't want to miss it.
Spending that summer evening out there. And we're going to be featuring Jerry Diaz, world champion charro, along with his son, Nicholas, and his lovely wife, Stacy. Going to be not a better setting, Don, than to be out in that area.
No, it's going to be a lot of fun. So, hey, Ernie, can you believe it's that time already?
I tell you what, I want you all to be good buckaroos and buckarettes this week. And mind your moms and dads, be brave, but don't take any chances out there. Again, John Fowler, my brother-in-law, you're a good brother-in-law. We hope you rest in peace. And let's not forget Elaine Russett and the Russett family. She's suffering some challenges. And then Don, you got anybody else?
I just want to tell you guys to all be good buckaroos and buckarettes out there. Jeff, J.D. Carmen, Justin, Hattie, Brianna, you be a good one.
And I tell you what, Connie, Brent, and Nick, and Luke, you continue to be good buckaroos. Until next week, I'm Ernie Rodina.
And I'm Don Dawson.
Happy trails.
Be sure to ride for the brand.
Love you, folks.